because as you saw, I think from the sheets, today's mostly agaric material. I just want to finish up the next mission, so we'll complete a whole unit. So on Daf Chav Chesem and Aleph, another story of the Belezer. Second line of the page, Chav Chesem and Aleph. Tan Rabban, Maisa Belezer, Sheshovas Begol Ha'Elyon. Another time he spent Shabbos in the Gol Ha'Elyon. So we're going to have to go over again. Was it Sukkis? Was it Tamash Shabbos? Doesn't say it all here. Doesn't say who was by. But in general, the Sha'aluhu, Shloshim Halachas Behilchus Sukkah, they asked him 30 questions about Hilchus Sukkah. So maybe it was within 30 days of Sukkahs. You know, the Gemara says at the end of Gemara says a couple of places, he's supposed to study the Dinim of Eretu Yantav 30 days before the Yantav. So it applies to Sukkahs also. So maybe that's what it was. But whatever it was, they asked him 30 questions in Hilchus Sukkah. Shtei Mesrei Omer Lahem Shamati. 12 of them he answered. He said, this is what I learned, this is what the Paskin, Shmona Esrei Amar Lahem Lo Shamati. 18, I did, the other 18 he didn't know, he said, didn't hear from, his Rebbein. So this obviously flows from the previous discussion, where when he was visiting Rabbi Yochanan ben Bilai on that other occasion, he didn't want to say over something he hadn't heard from his Rebbe. So there's a continuation of that. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Rehudo, Mechilufa Dvaram Shmona Esrei Amar Lahem Shamati, Shtei Mesrei Amar Lahem Shamati. A different version of the story was he answered 18, he didn't answer the other 12, whatever it was. So they asked him, Amar Lahem, Amar Lo, Kol Dorecha, Inan Elam Piyashmua. Is that true? You never answer anything, you know, other than Piyashmua that you've heard? You never say any rulings you haven't heard? Are you consistent with that? And as Rashi says, Inan Piyashmua B'tmi, it's a question. You know, you only say over what you heard. The way some learn, we'll see the Maharsho in a second, the way some learn, this was a bit of a, not an intentional, like a shtok, like a criticism. They said, are you not comfortable because you're not comfortable passing yourself, you're not comfortable even learning properly, you don't know it thoroughly, is that why? What's going on here? And so, that's the way some learn in Rashi. Okay, let's take a look. I think it's Kedai to look at the Maharsho. We'll flip back and forth on page Yudches. This is this edition. Page Yudal. The Rashi writes. I'm sorry. Tesla. Just a second. Yeah. Keep your finger there. We'll read a few lines further than tomorrow. Okay. So Amar Lahemsi responded, his kaktuni lomar dover shalosh shamati pi rabosai. You're now backing me into a corner, so you're forcing me, you're pressuring me, you're making it necessary for me to say something which I didn't hear directly from my rebbein. So let's look in Rashi. His kaktuni lomar taskikuni lomar dover. And so on. Agid lachem es midosai v'zu achad lehem. Now the way Rashi learns it, Rashi makes an important change. The way we have it in the Gemara, it says he's kaktuni, which means you forced me, you've pushed me into a corner, you've made me now present something. I'm going to have to present something which I didn't hear directly. The way Rashi learns it, komar taz kikuni, are you going to force me? Which is answered in a form of a question. Okay, are you going to force me? Okay, agilo chemes midosai v'zuachas mehem. Are you challenged? Basically, saying according to this approach, are you challenging me to do something which you're wondering if this is my practice, right? No, agilo chemes midosai. Let me go over my qualities and the way I learn and so on and so forth. And you'll see that this is in fact a midah that I have. It's not something which I'm making up or using as a cover over here. Trying to push away. This is one of my mitzvos. He's not saying, is that the way Rashi's learning it? He's forming it as a question. Tazki kuni, are you going to force me? You think you're going to, no, I'm not going to change my way. This is the way, these are my mitzvos, okay? Are you going to tazki kuni, lomar dabar? You think you're going to force me to say something now that I didn't learn? No, these are my mitzvos. And he says, let's read inside. Okay. Miyomai, here are my midos. Miyomai lo kadmani oba or kibani oba mis hamedrash. Right? My whole life, no one ever got to the Beis Medrash before me. Lo yashanti Beis Medrash, lo yashinas keva, lo shinas aray. I didn't sleep in the Beis Medrash ever, not a regular sleep, but not even a temporary little nap. Lo hinachti odom Beis Medrash v'yotzosi. I never left the Beis Medrash when there was somebody still in there. Lo safti sichas chulin. I never chattered about idle chit-chat topics in the Beis Medrash. And I also didn't say over something that I didn't hear from my Rebbe. It was basic. Elazar was answering. They asked him, "You never say anything?" He said, "No, I don't. That's my midah. Those are among the midahs that I have." Okay? Maybe we'll see the Rashi here, right? Sichas Chulin. Rashi says, Dibre Havai, Schok, again, chit chat, jokes. Okay? Klomar Mashasib, we other Lomitne, Klomar Mashasib, we other Lomitne, question of the exact Girsa here, but what's printed, Shatirahdi, okay, the, second, where's the corrected version? He's basically saying Rashi's adding that you see how diligent I was. You thought maybe I didn't say over because I'm not sure, I didn't learn it properly, I didn't master it, and so on and so forth. These were my leaders on the Beis Medrash. I never left before anybody else, I never came after anybody else, I never talked, I never slept. Meaning, not because I wasn't a diligent student. I should say Shalom Torah. That's what the Osir Gimel here. Okay. Lomotne Shalom Torah. Okay. It's not. There's nothing in my remains that I didn't hear, and therefore I only say what I heard. It has nothing to do with the weakness of my learning. It was the way the Rashi learns. Let's take a look at the Marshal. The way Rashi learns is they were challenging him. Elazar said, Is your reasoning for not wanting to say over because you didn't remember, you don't know it, you're not sure? And is it some kind of hisrashos in your learning? He said, no, not at all. Okay, you think you're going to get me to do it? I'm not going to do it. Not because I don't know, but because I won't say over things that my Rebbe didn't teach. Okay, those are among my midos. And the midos that he mentioned here are obviously the midos of a diligent Talmud the Beis Medrash. He came early, he came early, left late, didn't sleep, and other things in the Beis Medrash, didn't joke around. And so on. Let's take a look now at the Marsha. Marsha has different interpretations. Marsha writes in Chidusha Adorazimas, he's Kaktani. The Hainu Agilacha Midosa Vizu Achas Matipirish Rashi. Begam Shekol Elo Midos Kiba Mirab Arbiacham and Zakai Kidemasik, Revelezza Talmido Hayanoi Achrob. As the Gemara will say in a moment, these Midos, Revelezza picked up from his Rebbe, Arbiacham and Zakai. Okay, all these Midos, these midos of diligence and learning, he picked up from his Rebbe Birchon and Zakkai, as we will say later. Mikomokum hamidos lo shoma mi rabo el roa shenog rabo came. The noagam who came. Okay, the way that Marsha is learning here, you can read the answer differently. Not that Rebbe Elazar was saying, the way Rashi and his kata, are you going to force me? Basically, he was saying, no, you've backed me into a corner. I am going to say something which I didn't hear from my Rebbe. Namely, here are the midas that I have. I didn't hear those directly from my Rebbe, but rather what? I observed them. I learned them from my Rebbe. You follow? So the way he's presenting it, Rabbi Elazar's answer was, okay, you want to pressure me into saying something, I'm going to have to say something I didn't hear directly from my Rebbe. Namely, the midos that I followed in the Beis Medrash are midos which I learned from my Rebbe by observing them, even though I didn't hear it directly. So according to this approach, he is actually saying something over that I didn't hear directly from his Rebbe, things that he observed. Then he says, "Oh, there's Lomar Galoshim Tema Kamalai Bechitas Kikuna Dover Lomar Dover Shol Shemati Arimidai." So Zuachas Mem. That's Rashi. The second interpretation of Marsha is the one that we read in Rashi. We read Rashi. Okay, the first one's a little bit different. Umidus Beichon Zakei Choshev Harba. Yeah. Okay. So that's the point. So two. Basically, again, I don't want to make a big deal of that, but it's two different responses. Elazar, you think you're going to get me to say something? No, I mean, I never say it over. The other way, that's the way Rashi seems to say it. The second shot in the Marshal. First shot is, I'll do something, you're asking me, okay, I'll say something I didn't hear from my Rebbe. I observed it from my Rebbe. I just want to digress for one moment, just a thought, which I think is important. I mentioned in my shul over Rosh Hashanah, but it's one thing in certain it's one thing to learn from somebody, and you have to have somebody to learn from any discipline, any subject. But in secular subjects, you want to learn philosophy, you want to learn history, you want to learn literature, you want to learn mathematics, you want to learn science, you can learn from a magnificent professor, with great insight, and you don't really care what his personal characteristics are. He could be a philanderer, he could be a gambler, he could be, it doesn't matter. I go to his lecture, I'm not interested in getting any insight into his personal behavior. I want to learn how he approaches this problem, physics, or how he deals with these these mathematical equations and so on and so forth. I can learn from him. The fact that on the side he behaves in a certain way, I'm not interested. I have no shakas in that regard. That is not true of a Rebbe in the realm of Talmud Torah. Okay, the realm of Talmud Torah is not just the learning, because Talmud Torah is not just an intellectual discipline. It's not just pursuing, intellectual excellence, although obviously by studying Gemara it sharpens your mind and you gain intellectual acumen by learning Gemara, there's no question about it. But when you have a Rebbe, you search for a Rebbe, it's going to be a role model for you. His personal behavior matters. It does matter. You want to know his personal behavior also, because you want that exactly what's emerging from here. Birchim and Zaka was the Rebbe of Rebbe Lezer, but Rebbe Lezer telling him, he always said over what he heard from his Rebbe, and that's in terms of halacha and everything else, but he also absorbed things he didn't hear directly just by seeing his Rebbe. He saw how Birchim and Zaka behaved. That's how he behaved. So it's not just the inflection. So the idea is that this is this is what the Gemara here and many other places illustrates. The Talmud Torah is not simply an intellectual pursuit that we I mentioned on Shabbos, because the pasuk says in Parshat Hazino, it says Am Naval Lo Chacham. That's one of the criticisms of Klal Yisrael. Am Naval Lo Chacham. A different interpretation of that. The Targum Onkelos is that it's a nation that accepted the Torah but didn't become wiser for it. What does it mean? So I just suggest it means they accepted the Torah, was superficial. It never, impacted who they were, so to speak, as people. They never gained what they should gain out of it. Anyway, but be that as it may, that's one thing we learn from here. Then the Marsha goes on to something else. And the Marsha says, as we're going to see in the, well, maybe we should read the next part of the Gemara, actually, next. Okay, we'll come back to the Marsha. The Gemara goes on. Okay, so then we're going to see the two different ways of learning what Rebbe Lezer's response. The bottom line, he didn't say over from, it comes out more or less, it's the same idea, right? He didn't say over anything, he didn't hear from his Rebbe, not because he wasn't diligent, because he didn't know, but because that's his mita. Or the way he's saying it is that once in a while he did say something that was not from his Rebbe, namely in terms of Hanhaga, which he didn't hear from his Rebbe, didn't hear directly from his Rebbe, but he observed. Okay, now the Gemara goes on and speaks a little bit of Rebbe Yochanan and Zakkai. So, on the second line, Amro al Yochanan and Zakkai, the Rebbe, V'yamav lo sof sichas chulin. Okay, he didn't, engage in idle chatter. V'lo halach dal amos b'lo Torah, v'lo tefillin. He didn't walk in 4 paces out of Torah, v'lo tefillin. V'lo kidmo arveis ha-medrash, v'lo yashu reis ha-medrash, v'lo shenis kevel, v'lo shenis arai. V'lo hir her b'mavoz ha-man tunofos. He didn't think about the Torah in unclean places, places where there could be, like alleyways with his dirt, and his animal excrement, and so on and so forth, right? Below Hiniach, Arveis HaMedrash V'yotza, he never left the Beis Medrash when somebody's there. Below Matzo, Adam Yoshev V'domim, El Yoshev V'shonim, nothing. No one ever found him sitting around doing nothing, sitting and learning. Below Pasach, Adam Delas, V'talmida, Elohu, V'atzmo, he would open the door for his Talmida. Below Omar, Dabar, Shaloshonim, Pi Rabba Ma'olam. Okay, and he never said over something he didn't hear from his Rebbe, Birchon Zakkai, the Talmud of Hillel, right? Below Omar, Higia Eis Lama Reis HaMedrash, Chutzma Arab Psalm Arab Mekipurim. He never said, okay, let's leave the Beis Medrash, now it's time, we're going to leave early, okay, except for Arab Pesach and Arab Kippur. V'chein Hoyer Rebbe Lezer Talmidon Noheg Acher, period. And that's how the Talmud of Lezer would be Noheg as well. That's the Gemara. Okay, now, what the Marsha wonders is up above, they didn't mention all these midos with regards to the Lezer. They only mentioned a few of them, right? They didn't, all these midos that they just listed with regards to Yechim and Zakkai were not listed with regards to the Lezer and the Zayi. So the Marsha says, Afelgab, the Rebbe, fourth line, at least in this version, or midos of Yechim and Zakkai, chashir harbe midos alo chashir lo b'Rebbe Lezer. The Gemara seems to list off a bunch of other midos for Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai who are not listed with Elazar. Afal gav the Elazar nog achor b'kulon k'demashma kamon. Even though Elazar had those midos too, as the Gemara just concluded, that Elazar followed those practices as well. Yishlomar the lochosh and hocharak hanu midos shalot toma mashal shomatim rabosai hu shem vada amur beis hamedrash. Okay, v'ani ha'is mis'atzel v'nimdam l'shom p'ir rabosai. He says it works out better. This is with Shat and Rashi, that the reason the Gemara mentions other things are nice things, but they all have to do with learning the Beis Medrash, right? And in other words, the Gemara above only quoted those things which would answer the kasha. Maybe you weren't diligent, maybe you know that's why you're not able to paskin, you know, maybe you weren't careful in your learning. So only quoted above those midos which show, no, I was careful, right? And as the Marshal explains, you know, don't think I didn't miss what I ever said because I was late that day, or because I left early that day, or because I was talking, because I was sleeping. Okay, no, it's not true, because I never did, right? So it only mentioned those things which were, now that's really more like Rashi's way. Okay, Rashi's way of learning, that the kasha, that the others asked him, was it because you weren't diligent? So he answered, no, I was diligent. And the only midos it mentions above are those midos which demonstrate diligence in the Beis Medrash. The other thing that he didn't go 4 paces out of Torah and Tefillin, it's a nice midos, and he had that too. But that's not what was quoted above, because that wasn't relevant discussion. That's more mashma, you know, the things that he, you know, that he was responding to a chashash that maybe wasn't diligent as well. Okay, that's enough in terms of Marsha. Okay, the Aruch HaNer in source number 4 asks an interesting question. Stam, you know, he says, let's look at source number 4. Chochas al Alb is kat bigmor, but he's kat tun lomar dover shal shamati. Ksas kosher. Harer belezi his kemidah zum istama l'mida before, right? This is obviously a positive midah, a beautiful midah, right? Sheroi lino okay. How is a Talmud supposed to, you know, paskin in something he hadn't heard? I mean, he learned and so on and so forth, but, you know, how are you ever supposed to, if everyone's going to be like that, so how is he ever supposed to rule on something he hadn't learned directly from his Rebbein? And don't think, well, he's still paskin for himself. He goes on to explain, because the Elazar says that in Allah be more Allah before they rabble, and you chayv misa. The story with Nadav and Avihu, right? They died according to one view, Elazar's view. Shemor halacha they Moshe rabble. They decided to offer this fire and so on. I'm not going to read the whole halacha inside. It's still just not an interesting question. Okay, and so he makes a distinction. The Yishlom on the fifth line there. The Svila Rabbi Yechon Zav was in the Torah Shemal Pela Nitzan Lo Ish Mi Ish Rak Moshlanu Bermi Rabble. There's a difference, which is something you're darshan in Torah Shel Ha'Peh. Okay, we're explaining a pasuk, you know, something which is part of Torah Shel Ha'Peh. Then you have to make sure that you heard it directly. But if it's on Hagar, it's a minig, or it's another halacha, but it's not directly part of darshan pasuk in Torah Shel Ha'Peh, that you can to learn to pasuk for yourself. Okay, and he ties it in. That's what he said above. Remember, often our minds what he said yesterday. That's the Gemara earlier that when Rabbi Elazar said, "Does every shevet produce the shofet?" Okay, you know, and even if they didn't, the second answer was you can figure it out for yourself. Remember that I mentioned yesterday, right? It made the BMA. That was what Rabbi Elazar said yesterday when Rabbi Elazar tried to argue that Rabbi Elazar was responding to Yochanan Rabbi Loi. He wasn't stopping making up some random subject. He was giving him an answer related to the issue at hand. It wasn't some changing the topic, right? So he says you can do it, you can bring up certain things yourself. Okay, that's again, I don't want to stress it, right? That's in the Aruch HaNer. Now I just want to go over a few of these points because even though it's not directly related to sukkahs and so on, but there's some things to be interested in, that we should be interested in, and these are on August, Talmud, so Talmud in the base, and maybe it's not Beit Musar or Yom Kippur anyway. So let's look at a few things. First of all, both the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and Rabbi Elazar said that they did not sleep in the Beit Medrash, neither Shinas Keva nor Shinas Arai. By Leosha Beit Medrash, or Shinas Keva, or Shinas Arai. It says both by Rabbi Elazar and by Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So, Shenas Arai, the Chiddush is on Shenas Arai, not on Shenas Kevi. On Shenas Kevi, you're not allowed to. Okay, that's why I printed a few of the sources here. There's a marks on Hedron, Ayin Aleph and Aleph, source 5. Amar Mazera, Kal Yosh, Meis HaMedrash, Torah, Sal Nasal, Karayim, Karayim. Shenem Aru, Karayim, Talvish, Numa. Okay? Someone sleeps with his Medrash, his Torah will be torn. It'll be like ripped piece of paper, things that are ripped, or ripped clothing in a specific case. I printed the Pasuk in Mishlei, it's Parakhav, Yimel, Pasuk Kabbalah, Kisom, Vizel, Yorash. Right, the glutton will become poor. Who crying? Talvish numa. Numa is like sleeping, you know, like neem. More of these questions from neem. We're only sleeping, dozing. So the doze will have the things that are torn. So Chazal Darshan, the Mar Sanhedrin, that you know, you, what's the idea of in the base medrash means when you're learning, you know, probably when you're listening to a shir, even you're learning properly, you can keep dozing off. So then you're learning. There'll be in pieces. There'll be gaps. So you'll miss something. Right? There'll be like a torn piece of paper. You have to tape it together, it's a piece is missing. Right? That's what it means. So that is the Gemara Sanhedrin. So now it already indicates that it's not proper to see base measures. And it wasn't talking about a special leader, Lezer, Zakai. No, in general, right? That statement Sanhedrin is a general statement. So obviously, what is the big deal that the Gemara said, oh, Rabbi Lezer never slept in the base measures, Rabbi Zakai never slept in the base measures. Well, anyway, Gemara says it's Sanhedrin, they're not supposed to. So good, they follow that then, it's beautiful. I mean, that seemed to be a big, you know, a big rebuy by them, right? So there's another Gemara, Megillah, of Chav Chesed Aleph, source 7. The Gemara has there, actually, observed. Shalom Tamidus of Zeru, remember, Zeru was the Mandalmar there in Sanhedrin. So Shalom Tamidus of Zeru, Bameher Achta Yamin. There are a few Gemaras like that. This is one, Megillah Chav Chesed Aleph. They asked Zeru, what led you live to a ripe old age? So an old man says, Tamidim, ask him, what? In the merit of what? We Zoche. You know, old age, right? To live to the right old age. Amalai, miyamal, I say a bunch of things. Miyamal, like, paratik, so basically, that's a good one. Ever got angry in my house? Okay, that's pretty good. Okay. Below tzadati, if they me, shagarot men, I never walked in front of someone. Look at God, I mean, below here, harati, the mavos, I'm a tenofos, we had that before. I didn't hear harati, Rashi said, the retar, right? Rashi made, hear harati, the retar. I never thought about the retar in a place where it's inappropriate to think of the retar because it's dirty. Okay, the lohalachti arba amos below Torah tefillin. Okay, I was learning all the time. So I said garasti shagur girsosi shagur b'fi tamid. Was always talking, learning, mumbling, and always learning. Even when he walked, I never walked 4 amos without learning, without tefillin. Below yashanti is a medrash oshenis kevel oshenis arai. Same thing, right? In sleep. Below losasti b'techolos chaverai. I never was delighted when my friends made a mistake. Sometimes if someone's learning, so that someone else makes a mistake, you're happy because it makes you look smarter. Right? I'm never happy, you know, when someone else made a mistake. Below karasa chamera is different gears to see bechanichoso. Okay, ramala bechanichoso. I never, whatever basically means, I never referred to people by derogatory or nicknames and so on. Okay, anyway, so there in Megillah, so a couple of things are parallel to our case. A couple of these midos of Mzera are parallel to the midos of Rechon Zaka and Rabbi Lezer. I just want to look at the one about we're talking about sleeping. Some Arsha over there in Megillah, Chav Chesed Aleph, number 9. Well, Shanti Reis HaMedrash, Amri Ba'alma, the Osu Lish Reis HaMedrash. Okay? Well, Masmich La'akrosh, and then Arkrosh Kabish Numa. Okay? What the Arsha is bothered by is, why is that a big thing? All the other things are big things. Say, I never got angry at home. That's pretty good. Okay? And some of the other things is are very nice videos, but the Arsha says, and again, he doesn't stress it, but I'm stressing it. It's the same Reb Zera. Okay, Reb Zera is the speaker in source number 5. He says, Kol Yosh Reis HaMedrash, Torah So Nasa Zor Karayim, and he has that remnant of the Pasuk in Mishlei. So why does Reb Zera now count that as a big deal that he didn't sleep in the Reis HaMedrash? He himself said you're not supposed to. So the Marshal says, at the end of line 9, no, Reb Zera, Hechmer, Afilu Shimis HaRoi, what he's talking about in Sanhedrin is managed to sleep. You know, go into a deep sleep. But he said, even that, didn't even doze off. His mind, but even a temporary sleep, a nap. And if we look at the Rabbah, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Paragdal Alachatez, source 10, Paragdal Alachatez, and I'm right. Ein is Shen Reis HaMedrash, B'chalam is Namen Reis HaMedrash, Chachmas O Nasa Is Korim Korim, B'chein Omar Shalom B'chachmas O, that's the Pasuk Mishnah, B'chalam Talvish Numa, Okay, so anyway, the Rambam mentions that Ein Hashem Samedish, you're not supposed to sleep the Beis Medish at all, and it's a Midah Tova, even not to doze off, okay, even a Shinas Aroi. And we look at the Shulchan Aruch, verse 11, Hilchos Talmud Torah, that's Yerodeus and Reish Men Vav, Sifta Zion, okay, quotes the verbatim, Ein Hashem Samedish, from the Samedish Samedish, but also not so corruption, never that posted in Mishnah. Now again, the problem is the Rambam does not seem to distinguish openly between Shinas Aroi and Shinas Kevin, neither the Shulchan Aruch. The Shach, there in Yerodea, the side of the page, Sifsei Kohen. The Shach, the side of the page, the Shach. The Shach on the side of the page, and Yerodea, the Reishman Bok, Sif Tezvot, writes as follows, Ein Yishen Reis HaMedish, the Beis Yosef, Maisel Zeh, Hod Amin, Perik Mele Eir, Shol Osob Zer Barak Dohamim, okay, the Beis Yosef quotes this question, and he wonders why, our question, why would Reb Zera counted as some sort of fancy midas hasidus. He didn't sleep in the Beis Medrash, but you're not supposed to. The Tzarek Lomar says the Shach, and then the Beis Yosef, the Shenas Aroi, the Shul Midas Hasidus, no, okay. A Medina, but you have to say, even though the Shulchan doesn't specify it, it appears as the Shach, like we said, that Shenas Aroi, that's also Rapidin. Shenas Keva, that's also Rapidin. Shenas Aroi is only a Chumra, you know, Midas Hasidus. That's what the Shach says, and it refers you to the Shulchan Aruch himself writes elsewhere in verse 13, Aruch Chaim Sim Kuf Nun Aleph Sif Gimel. There it says, "Ein Yishenas Haknesset Afilu Shenas Arai Abes Hamedrash Mutter." The difference between the Beis Haknesset and the Beis Hamedrash. Not for now, we don't know the details, but it says the Beis Haknesset, you can't even that. In the Shul, the Davening Aleph Hamedrash Mutter. There the Chaver Pasim explicitly that the Beis Hamedrash it's Mutter. Okay. And Mishabur explains in Tezai 14, Ratzon Olomar, Shenas Arai. Okay, Shenas Arai. That which is more to the Beis Hamedrash than that. Now we understand. Zera, and Zakai, they were all Machner, even not to sleep the Shenas Arai. That's why it's in this Hasidus. Okay? Then the Mishabur says, V'chaim v'chlush v'chiv v'egesh v'fakbev v'hetezeh, v'efshad v'kev v'chubesh. And I said, efshad, why should there be a difference between Shul and Beis Hamedrash? In case you're wondering, the Shulchan Aruch says, because Kevin Shabbos HaMedrash also Lishol Shem Zman Harbe Wilmo Lishmo Dibri Torah the Kosha Lizar Mishen Asarai. Okay? And if it's Medrash, you know, the Shabbos is talking to us, right? It's Beis Medrash a long time. The Shul, okay, you go to Shul for half hour, 45 minutes, you can stay awake. But in Beis Medrash for many hours a day, so it's very, very difficult not to even doze off. Al-Kain Lo Asu Zeh L'Shum Adam. Therefore, they didn't ask it to anybody. And then he adds, that's a different discussion. But yeah.
Is Shulchan Aruch talking about a Beis
Medrash
that's never used for Beis Medrash?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So right. Was it that both sides?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think so. Okay. Because again, especially for this reason, the Shabur, if you're there all day, it's very, very difficult to be missing. Okay, so people like Abzerin, Lorez, and Bechon Zach, they bring this, even not that those off. Okay? The Shabur is aware of the fact that sometimes it's sleepless week and, you know, you're exhausted when you're in the Beis Medrash, right? So it's, you know, sleepless week is just, myself, you know, whatever, it's unusual sleep patterns, I guess, that way. So, okay, so, these kinds of people, regular people like us, I need to doze off once in a while, the Beis Medrash is one thing. The Midas Chasidus was not to doze off at all. Okay. Now I'd like to look at the next section, here in the sheets. Is some of these midas that are mentioned with regard to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So it's Hasemes, the Ger Rebbe 15, here in Sukkah Chol Ches and Aleph, has a few interesting horas. So the Gemara Amr Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, etc. He quotes all the Tzarek Lomar. First of all, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, my whole life, nobody ever, all these things I did my whole life. So he refers to a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which indicates Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. In the earlier part of his life, was involved in business. Not like a bekeeper, he wasn't observing it, but he was involved in other things. It wasn't. So he said, "Tzarek Omar, the Hainam Mashiach Wilmo, the Hamen Shana Asak with Prakmatya, Kedis Rosh Hashanah Laman Alvin Beis." Okay, in other words, the language Miyamai, right? Miyama means his whole life. So Sassanis points out what it means once he started being involved only in learning. Earlier in his life, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai pragmatic was involved in business. Okay, or Gamli Shalmar, Yomav Haina Mishiyisa Leisha Garosh Kedemash Mitzas Haloshim VeKach Hanoi Gavolazu Talmido Acharon. When did Yochanan ben Zakkai pick up these meters? When he became the Rosh Hashiva, he was becoming a Rebbe. Then he had to have, like the Gemara said at the end, he had Talmidim, we're going to be influenced by him. So he wanted to behave in a special way, Okay? Now look at the third line. He's a little bit bothered. Interesting question. He never walked even four paces without having Torah in his mouth, the thoughts of Torah, like Rashi said, without wearing tefillin. One second, says the Tzatzemes. Rama's question. Yeah, what about nighttime? He used to die. Delilah is not tefillin. What about night two? What's tefillin? Okay, now you could answer, you have them on. But without going into details now, there's some who are who feel that there's not even an issue to wear tefillin at night. You're not allowed to wear tefillin at night, so make sure to take them off, wash gear. You know, but not everyone agrees with that. I'm just saying, and I don't think you necessarily match anything from here. But Lamaisa, Laila Lazman Tfilin. So the Sosema says, and he said he never went without Tfilin. Obviously, it doesn't mean Shabbos and Yom Tov, but I mean, what about Laila Lazman Tfilin? So the Havoga Tfilin Shalom Kaino Lazman Chiyav Tfilin. So it's a Pashuk Pshat to the Sosema. It means not at night, it means when there's a Chiyav Tfilin during the day, okay, during the weekday. Or become welcome, Iker near the forest below Torah, O below Torah. The Chadam and I have an O Sig Mitzvah. The Chain Priest read the Rabbah, look at the Talmud Torah, which I printed to you in Source 16. Look at the Rabbah, I'm sorry, I have the Talmud. Look at the Talmud, Paragdal, Halacha Chafei, 16. Talks about Kedusha Tzvon, Kedusha Tzvon, Kedusha Tzvon, Gedolahi, Shakol's Mach, Tzvon, Barosho, Arma, Azrohu, Ono, Yerei Shemayim, Eirunim Shok, Mishchok, Mishichah, B'Tela, Beinah Mahar, Machshos, Rose, Elam Afana, Libba, with Yerei Amos, Atzedek, Uficha, Tzorach, Odom, Yishtad, Leos, Olav, Kol, Hayom, Shemitzvah, Sam, Keni, Omro, Olav, Al, Rav, Talmidah, Shemit, Al, Kodesh, Shekol, Yom, Av, Lo, Ra, O, Shalach, Arba, Al, Belo, Tvora, O, Belo, Tzitzis, O, Belo, Tvora. That's talking about Rav, but again, so the Sassim is going to apply the same thing here. When it says, he never went without Torah and Tzvon, neither Torah or Tzvon. So at night he wasn't wearing Tzvon. So he had Torah. Okay. Again, not a big thing, just a side point that emerges. Now the next thing that we want to look at is the Sugya in Brachos. The Gemara says here that it wasn't Mahar in the Dibur Torah, but Mekomos HaMetunafos, or Mavos HaMetunafos. That means places where there are, again, you know, out back here, one of these alleys where there's dogs go and this and that, you know, it's unclean. And so therefore you're not supposed to be Mahar, but they're very tar in a place that's dirty and smells bad and so on. So there is an interesting Gemara in Brachas, let's read it together, 17, this is Daf Chaf Dal Abayit in Brachas. Omer Hunam Recha, Hay Mahalek Mavoz Mitanofos. Okay, a guy was going to all these places and it was Mach Kriyashman, Mach Kriyashman was over. What's he supposed to do? So it says, Maniach Yadu Alpiv Vekari Kriyashman. Okay, you should put his hand over his mouth and say Kriyat on 16 earth. It doesn't smell anything. So, and he's read Kriyat, and he said, Perfect Kriyat. Amal Chista, Alokim, Imamal Levechan, Poin, Lot Saisanale. Okay, Ikadat, Amal Rabbah, Abachan, Amal Bishop. And later, he's one who said this, Hoy Mahal, Pavos, Taras, Maniach, Hadal, Pavi, Kari, Kishman, and again, Amal Chista, okay, Alokim, Imamal Bishop, and later, Poin, Lot Saisanale. Umi Amar, Huna, Achim, Arbun, Tamar Chacham, A Talmud Chacham shouldn't go into a Makom HaTinofes altogether. A Talmud Chacham always got the very Torah before. Right? It's just in his head. You know, and a real Talmud Chacham learns all the time. So the word, people told me, I don't know, I wasn't there, but people told me that, you know, towards the end of the Zagman, Salvation Shema Baruch Hu was not, you know, really mentally with it, but he was just talking and he was just quoting Rambam, you know, just saying Baal Peh for the Rambam, because that was in his blood, in the way it was in his head. That's what came out. Even when he couldn't really have a regular conversation, again, as I heard, I wasn't there, but even he couldn't have a regular conversation. But that what you would spend his whole life doing, that was Shogar Befir. Okay, I think I told you once the story of Yosef Engel. Okay, Yosef Engel was one of the Dalai Torah, late 1800s, early 1900s, and somebody who was, I don't know if he's still alive today, was a little boy, met him, and he used to fact that Yosef Engel lived in his apartment, and this Rav, now he's still alive in his 90s, I heard this from someone, heard from him, when he was a little boy, he used to go visit me as a Bengal on the way home. I'm sure his father used to take him in to say good Shabbos. So one time he came in and Rebbetzin said he fell, he's by his desk, but he fell asleep. So the man said, well, can I show my son what it looks like when I go to the Torah sleeping? So he was sitting in his chair, and his arm was open, and his eyes were sleeping, but his hands were moving around like this. Like he's working on it. Okay, it's Shogar Befir, Okay, anyhow. So therefore, as Rahuna says, Talmud Chacham, also Lama, because you have Shal Lama, there's no kasha, kan ba'omid, kan ba'halach, hena kanami. What Aruna said, you're not allowed to stop there, but sometimes you have to pass through. And so the earlier teaching about Krishna, when he's passing through, you have to walk somewhere, another way to go. So you're not allowed to stop there. Kanbo and Kanmahala. Then the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yochanan and Hafi, Rabbi Yochanan and B'chol Mokom Mutar Abed Yitro Chutz B'Bei Samech and B'Bei Sakise. But still, Rabbi Yochanan said, you're not allowed to be B'Bei Yitro when you're in the bathhouse, and you're in the B'Bei Sakise, right, the toilet and so on, again, it's not clean. Himself, even when he was just walking through, did not say, he was quiet, he didn't say Kriyashma there, right? And then he asked Rabbi Yochanan, so he had to stop saying Kriyashma, where should I go back to? Depends how long you waited. Again, that's not a detail we need to know right now. So it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan said, you're not allowed to. So Hachi Kama answered the Gemara, no, Ledidi, Lo Srila, Ledok, Lo Srila, and I'm sure he's going to be much cooler, Chozalosh. Me, I don't hold that. I hold this winter if you're walking through. Okay, again, you get the idea from the Gemara. I'm not interested in all the details about Kriya Shema now. The Gemara has a Brisa, Tanya Kavasa Huna, Tanya Kavasa Chista. Okay, what do you say Kriya Shema, not say Kriya Shema? But anyway, what emerges from there is, okay, that, again, we can ask, if you're not supposed to say Kriya Shema, you're not supposed to have here with the Torah, so what's the big ribui of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai? Let's look again at our Gemara says on the, where is it? Below here, the fifth of the wide lines. Below here, b'mavoh asamu tunafos. Right? He wasn't Mahara, but that's a din for everybody. The Sugan Brachas, I'm talking all about the Talmud Chacham. Tomorrow they have brachas, they're back and forth. Again, I don't care. It's, for our purposes, it's not important now, the details with regards to Kriya Shema. Okay? But, and again, I have the rashis there, but you can take a look at it. But the, our Gemara said it was a reboot. The same thing, that Gemara Megillah, Daf Chavches, had that as a reboot for that Hagi Reb Zera also. What's the big thing? Not supposed to do it. So the Rashba with the Megillah, they printed in source 19, the Kedusha Rashba, the Megillah, Chavchetz Rav, Lo Yehar, the Boss from the Rav, Mistabra, that was Tzvi, like Rabbi Yochanan, the Shori, behind the Rabbu say. He evidently had like Rabbi Yochanan said, technically it's Mutter. As Rabbi Yochanan's answer was, the point to me, it's Mutter anyway. Okay, it's Mutter. And therefore, I don't hold you have to repeat, go back from being a Kriyashma. I'm just answering you, right? That middle Gemara that we just read. So the Rashba says, apparently, he's referring to Mzera there in Megillah. We'll say the same thing with Yochanan Zakkai here. In Sukkah, he held like Rabbi Yochanan, technically speaking, it's Mutter, and therefore it's, and therefore it's a reboot, especially on Hagar Tov. The Marsha there in Megillah is a different text. Okay, the Marsha there in Megillah says in 20, Lo here, Harati Mavov, the Perak Mishamesa, I mean, the Osalik Roshma Kriyashma. Omas Malavat Kroy, right? The Karmas there, Machmas Ma, feel all here her Torah. So says the Marsha, 1 second, maybe the difference in Kriyashma and here with the great Torah. Okay, that took over there in Brock was talking about Kriyashma. Okay, the Kriyashma, I may have one day, and Rabzera in this Gemara Megillah that he's referring to, or Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and our Gemara here in Sukkah, was Machmas even for here her Torah. Because the Sugya there, again, was about Kriyashma. It only mentioned Hiru as part of a kasha, but the basic sugya was a Kriya Shema sugya. So the Marsha there in Megillah said, yes, maybe there's a difference in Kriya Shema and Hiru B'Divrei Torah, and whereas Kriya Shema wouldn't be allowed, but Hiru B'Divrei Torah would be. So now Reb Zera, the Gemara Megillah, Reb Yochanan Zakkai, the Gemara Sukkah, were machmir even for Hiru B'Divrei Torah. Okay, the Marsha by us, Dumatzol, Hiru B'Vos, what's on Omar, Afo P. Perhaps, I'm not sure here, gives perhaps a different explanation, if I'm understanding it correctly. I think it means as follows. Okay? For most of us, you know why it's a riboy? Not because you didn't do it in Mavos Mitzvah. It's a different character. You're not allowed to do it in Mavos Mitzvah. You're not allowed to do it. So what's the riboy? The riboy was, for me and for you, it's not so difficult. So for a while, I'll think about baseball and I'll walk through. We have other things in our minds, right? We're not thinking about Torah exclusively all the time. Anyways, so it's not such a big deal to, for a few moments that I'm walking through a Mavos Mitzvah to you know, a dirty place, to think about something else, right? That's the big challenge. To think about other things here and anyways. So, but for the riboy was, even for somebody, that's the Marsha I was saying here, even for somebody that the Torah Shmura called Kach B'Fiv, right? He was Nizer. That's it. You know, the riboy is, he was able to be, it's the din, you're right, it's the din. So what's the riboy? The riboy is, even for someone on his level, who was Mahar B'Divei Torah all the time, was able to, you know, avoid the problem. And for me and for you, it would be such a big challenge. That's the riboy. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, can you just, what exactly was, is the difference?
Marsha Megillah is just saying that he was the chiddush is that the question is what's the big riboy, what's the big midas chassidus that he wasn't mahar with the Torah, you know, in a smelly place. Okay, that's a din. Brachah seems to say that's a din. So Megillah says, well, maybe that's a din by Kriya Shema, but it's not necessarily the same thing by here with the Torah, right? Kriya Shema, you can't say that, but mahar, when just thinking, it doesn't come out. Kriya Shema have to say, right, the verbalize. So maybe it's a special din by Kriya Shema, but it's not applicable to Hira B'Divrei Torah. So his Midas Chassidus was he applied the din by Kriya Shema and extended even to Hira B'Divrei Torah. That's how I understand Marsha in the Gilad. Marsha here is saying differently. He's saying, no, really it's a din by Hira B'Divrei Torah also. Again, it's another possible interpretation, if I'm understanding it correctly. That's what he says, right? He says, Apo Pishoi Sa Torah Shugur Kol Kach B'Fibu B'Libo Hayanitim L'Har B'Vos. Right? In other words, For the average person, to me, for you, we're going to a place and not allowed to think about the Divrei Torah. Okay, so we have other things to talk about. We have other things to think about. Most of us are not thinking about the Divrei Torah in a minute anyways. So not such a big challenge while I walk through a dirty, smelly place to think about something else. But for him, it was a much more of a challenge because right, that's the reboot. That's the biggest question. Okay. Anyway, this is an interesting point. La Halacha, you take a look in 22, the Shulchan Aruch says, Simon Pehei Sif Beis, okay, Norchaim. Afilu Lahar B'Divrei Torah also Reis Akisa Reis Amerchatz U'Makom Atinofus. Okay, in other words, the Psak is that you know we do equate everything. La'aloch here in B'Divrei Torah, La'aloch Reis Akisa, La'aloch Reis Amerchatz or Makom Atinofus, some other dirty place. Okay, namely, what does it mean by dirty? Who amakum sheish bo tzoa umerim lion? Right, there's excellent thing. There's urine there. Yeah, we understand what a dirty alley is. Ramo adds, by the way, b'filo hilchus hagov, b'filo hilchus amerchatz also on the records. I don't know how to learn things which are, which are halachas that relate to that. You can't learn that in the base amerchatz either. Okay, that's the psak in the Shulchan Aruch. All right, let's go back to the Marsha again. I just want to go through these middos and another. No, we don't always have to see the Marsha and everything, but the Chiddush HaGadol, it gives insights that I think are worth seeing. The next Marsha, the Lo Matzal Adam Yoshev Domain, okay. Gam Shaya Efshav Beliman Iyune Ikur Begirsa Shishu Rufim, Velo Tishtaka, the middle of Kalam and Kalam was interesting. Okay. The way I understand what the Marsha is saying here is that if a person ever found him sitting, never found him sitting quietly. Okay. Just a moment. What does it mean? Gamsha Efsha Beliman Iuni. Okay. What do you mean sitting quietly? You can sit quietly and still be mind in your head, right? And thinking and analyzing and so on, right? I mean, what's the bad side? I was always talking. I was always so many learning. I was never just sitting. What's so bad about that? Marsha was wondering, right? Efsha Beliman Iuni. No, when you're learning, you should learn out loud. Like Norris said in a few places. Now, this was especially the case in those days when you had all your learning was memorized. You'd have texts, you'd have books, no printing. right? And Shof Tam is very pretty. But he said, in general, the best way to learn is to learn out loud, because you learn out loud, you remember it. So even though, theoretically, there's nothing wrong with sitting back and thinking, and being ma'ayin in his mind, in his head. But it's better still, that's the rule here, it's better to say it out loud, say it out loud. Okay? As he says, the more says in a few places. All right? And the last thing of this group, he says, He says two things. He sat by the door, okay, because he knew that I'm on the Talmidim of a Rebbe, or the Chassidim of a Chassidish Rebbe, he's walking out, so with fist fight to see who gets to hold the door open for him, right? And the big cover, so he's pushing and shoving to see who gets. So he's standing in the door, so it shouldn't be any issue, he's going to open the door himself, right? He would, otherwise, he'd sit over here, he'd start walking the door, there'd be a whole gang by the door pushing each other. I want to hold the door open for him. So he avoided all the problems. The other thing is, Marsha says he didn't have somebody collecting funds by the door. Remember the story of Hillel? Right, he couldn't afford to go in with the snow. We all learned this when we were younger, right? He couldn't go to his majesty. The Shmaya of Tanya, he went out the roof and listened in. It snowed. Anyway, okay, that's the Marsha. Finally, in this group of Makaros, the Hanagas of Yechav and Zakai, mentioned that he never said it was time to, never left the Beis Medrash early, never said it's time to go except Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. So if you look in the Chiddush HaRitvo here in Sukkah, 24, the Ritvo here in Sukkah, Chav Ches Dal, Girsut, and Dafka, the law of Mehigia, Islam, and Islam, and Shkutz, and Arab, Pesach, and Arab, and Kippur, why? What's so special at those days? So he says, Pirish Arab, Pesach, and Mishum Matzah, Arab, and Kippur, and Mishum Suda. Okay, so we'll talk for a little bit about Matzah. There's a mitzvah matzah, so what? It's a little unclear. Erev Kippur is because you had to eat. Because we know, Shekol Ochavok Yus Anachi Vasi, we'll come back to that. It's a little hard to understand what the ritual meant by matzah. Okay, what do you mean matzah? So you have to eat matzah at night, so what? Why do I have to leave the Beis Medrash? I mean, obviously he's not going to say, that doesn't mean, oh, it's time for the Seder, that's why I have to leave. I mean, you can say the same thing, you have to go out to the Sukkah or whatever other mitzvah. Like cotton candle or something like that. So, look in the Arachon Air quotes, okay, Rashi said differently. Let's look back in Rashi. Rashi said, I realize I didn't read all the Rashi's here, did I? Rashi back on our page. So first of all, below Torah, below Girsok, and we said, Chutz Ma'arbe Pesachim, he says, Mipnei Asiyas Pischeim, okay, bringing the Korban Pesach. And then you have a second interpretation, Mipnei Atinokos, first of all, Pesachim, they have to make an effort to keep the kids awake, okay, for the Seder. So therefore, says the Arachon Air, Yeshua Asiyas Pesachim, okay, that was the first shot of Rashi. The second shot is what the Gemara itself says in Pesachim Kuftes. So Arachon Air wonders, why does Rashi need two Pesachim? The Gemara Pesach already says, they would go home to help get the kids to nap and so on and so forth, so they'd be able to stay home for the Seder. So why did that, the Gemara says. Okay, Chotun, because the Gemara Pesach and Kuftes. So the question becomes, why did Rashi read the first part that we had? Gemara says it. So Arachon Air says, this is again on that Rashi, Chutz Ma'ariv Pesach, Arachon Air on our page. Okay. Again, what do the Tinochas have to do? It's not so clear. Because notice that our Gemara said Arab Pesachim, Arab Pesach. So what's it got to do with Tinochas? You have to keep them awake for the Seder Shkaya. So what's it got to do with Arab Pesach? So that's what Tosa said, that it gives some Lel Pesach, with Lele Pesach. Okay, I have a hacha, like I've seen an Arab Pesachim. So what happened to Arab Pesach? Okay, you have to go leave the Spanish Lel Pesach to go make the kids awake and so on and so forth. What's got to do with Arab Pesach? So that's here it says Arab Pesach. That's why Al Karcha Mishum Asiyas Pesachim. Arab Pesach to bring the Karcha Pesach. Al Purush Hashem Kosov Purush Rashbam Shom. גם ישר לפי זה, שיש דחתק לא מנקל ארבי פסוח מושן רבי, וערב כיפר מושן יוחד. Interesting question, right? Why do you have ארבי פסוח עם ארבי and ערב יום הכיפור? Okay? He suggests the possibility that Arvei is, there are two Erev Pesach. There's Erev Pesach Rish, Erev Pesach Sheni. Okay? And the issue of the kids staying awake is not Nogea Pesach Sheni. Right? Because there's no mitzvah of Vigato Vincha Pesach Sheni, just bringing a korban. Alright? So anyway, what I want to bring out was that Erev Pesach and bring the korban Pesach. But based on this, I'm surprised that he doesn't say it, but others do say it. The reason he mentioned two things is because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which you know this, lived at the time of his Beis HaMikdash and lived after the Churban. You could say very simply, Karban Pesach was only relevant when it's Beis HaMikdash. So you had to give a second interpretation. Okay? Second interpretation, because even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's still an obligation to leave the Beis HaMikdash in the afternoon. How are we going to learn it? You follow what I'm saying? In other words, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai lived in both eras. He straddled the remember the story, right? They weren't given, okay? When Yerushalayim was besieged, the town of Bayis Sheni, so Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the chief rabbi, and there were different groups, the Gemara tells us, different factions of Jews in Yerushalayim, and he wanted to surrender the city because he said the Romans were going to wipe us out. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, you remember the story? Right, those who don't know, I'll look it up in Gittin around Dachman Baba. So the Gemara tells that it's among the Gemaras that's mutter to learn on Tisha B'Av. Right? The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai realized it's a losing battle. There's no mitzvah to wage a losing battle. They're going to wipe us all out and they're going to throw the base of English anyway. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made what was obviously a very emotional decision and, gut-wrenching decision, really. He wanted to meet with the Roman general and basically surrender Yerushalayim, surrender the Beis HaMikdash, which he knew was going to be basically destroyed. But he asked for several things in return. He struck a deal. Now the zealots who were in Yerushalayim weren't letting anybody out. But they knew these different factions that some Jews wanted to surrender. They wanted to fight to the last man, which is, to the death, which is not the right approach. Okay, so Yochanan Zakkai let word got out that he was sick. So they said the word got out that he died. There was a hunger in the city of Yerushalayim was besieged. So they don't bury Yerushalayim. They don't bury Yerushalayim proper. So they were going to have him. They were going to take him and took him out in a coffin. Okay, to go bury him. They went outside the city walls, going to the cemetery. So then they put the coffin down. And he hopped out and walked up to Vespasian. Vespasian was the general, and he spoke to Vespasian. He told him you're going to be. He actually called him the king because. He knew somehow that the emperor in Rome had just died, Vespasian had been elected to succeed him, and struck a deal with Vespasian, and that's the famous Tainli Yavne Lechachama, right? That's, allowed the Rabban to move to Yavne, and the family of Gamliel the Nosi to remain alive, and he took care of Tzadok, who was the Talmud who was sick, and so he got a doctor, and in exchange for that, he surrendered the Beis HaMikdash. Now, by the way, that was, again, you can imagine the responsibility, Rechon Zakkai's shoulders, surrendering the Beis HaMikdash. Talk about land for peace. You're giving up the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, it's quite, now again, it's a losing battle. So, can I start extrapolating from there to the land for peace question contemporarily? Because it's a losing battle. Figure it out. That's what the experts have to figure out. But another discussion, another time. But meanwhile, at that time, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai felt it was a losing battle. We're not going to beat the Romans. And therefore, he even surrendered the Beis HaMikdash. There's evidence in the Gemara's Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was on his deathbed that he went with a certain guilt. He was not sure his whole life. Did he make the right decision? I wouldn't want to have to make that decision. But anyway, Hanogei LeDvarenu is Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai lived at the time the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. He lived at the time after the Beis HaMikdash. And we know, actually coming up now, Sukkot, right? We know Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made numerous takanas after the Churban to remember the Beis HaMikdash. The most famous one that will be relevant to us shortly is Lulav Kol Shina. Right? The fact that we take the Lulav all week long, so it's not just Chatan Shabbos, right? Not just the first day, which the Torah says, just to Lakat Machab by Omar Rishon, the Mitzvah Lulav Esrog on Sukkot is only the first day, Midaraisa. Just like on Pesach, the Mitzvah Matzah is only the first day, right? As we discussed earlier this year. But lulav is called, we're known to lulav called Shiva, that's based on Takar, Mishnah Sukkah, also Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, that Rav Yochanan Zakkai was Misakkai and has a Zecher L'Churban. So he lived in both generations. So one can say very simple, without all this fancy footprint of the Aruch HaNei, you can say it. Rashi gives two interpretations. Rav Yochanan Zakkai are two different times in history. At one time, you have to get up and leave the Beis Medrash because it's time to be in the Korban Pesach. Okay, in the afternoon. Once in normal Beis Hamikdash, there's still another consideration, namely the children. Okay. As far as Erev Kippur, so this is fortuitous, we'll talk about it now because it's about Erev Kippur. So here we find a famous din, which again Rashi alludes to. Rashi says, Erev Kippur, Shetzorach Lechon Bod Yom. What's going on, Erev Kippur? You had a guy to eat before the day is out. But it's more than that. Okay, there is a pasuk in Chumash Parashas Emor, famous pasuk, part called Gimel pasuk on the base in Vayikra 26. Shabbos Shabbos and Hulachem, Tony Kippur, Vinisim is not Shoseichem, and then the famous phrase, Besisha Lachodesh Ba'erev, Me'erev Ba'erev Tish Besu Shalachem, on the ninth day of the month. In the evening, so from then until the next night, you have to have your day of rest, have your Kippur. So what's difficult about that pasuk, obviously? Kippur's not on the ninth day. Kippur's on the tenth day. Okay, what's this? What a strange presentation. The ninth day in the evening. Well, that's already called the tenth day. All right, we know by here, by Voker, so the calendar day changes by us. Today is Vav El, Vav Tishrei, Vav Tishrei. Well, today is Tuesday, Vav Tishrei. When does it become Wednesday, Zion Tishrei? When it gets dark out. Okay, now that's the solar calendar, today is September 26th. When does it become at midnight? So by us, it doesn't change at midnight, it changes when it gets dark. Okay, so we know that already. Everybody knows that. So why does the Torah say such a strange formulation? Besisha l'chodesh, the ninth in the evening. That's called the tenth by us, right? So it says the Gemara in Brachas, and it's also in Rosh Hashanah, it's also in Yom Kippur. I printed it in Brachas because it's the first place it comes. Ches and Beis. Tana lechia b'rav midifti. You have to observe this holiday in the ninth, really? The tenth of the month. Here's the mucker for the mitzvah to eat on Erev Kippur. That on Erev Kippur we eat, it's not just because we want to be able to have energy and protein or nutrients in our system be able to fast the next day. There's a mitzvah to Erev Kippur, independent mitzvah to Erev Kippur, learned out, meaning that there's something about the ninth. Since the pasuk mentions the ninth, we learn that. What do we learn? You don't have to fast the ninth. Erev Kippur's not 2 days, so fakir, you have to eat on the ninth. Then you get credit, so to speak, as you fasted both the ninth and the tenth. Okay, and Rashi explains Brachos Chesed Beis. Okay, 28. Okay, I'll consider it, as if we pass it even today. That's what Rashi says. Now, that's a din. By the way, I should mention as a side point, there was another thing that Gemara learns from the ninth. The word ninth, I don't know. The mitzvah of Tosefes Yom Kippur. That you're supposed to start in Kippur Taka when it is still the ninth. The sun hasn't set yet. All the shuls start Kol Nidre and everything. Yom Kippur is before it gets dark. Okay, everything begins. In a Kabbal Yontef right before. Many people should say Tefillah Zaka. That special two before Kol Nidre. And in that Tefillah Zaka, it says Harei Mekabel Lies some such loshon Kedushas Hayom. It's only Mekabel already the Kedushas Yom Kippur before Yom Kippur. Why? So there's a concept of Tosefes by Shabbos also. Okay, for many people do that in the summer. They have a 7 o'clock, quarter to 7 minyan, even if it doesn't get dark for another hour and a half. That's for convenience reasons. Now, that's a further question. Is that a mitzvah? Is that just a hefter? Is there such a thing? I'll have a discussion about it maybe some other time. But an Erev Kippur, everybody gives a mitzvah. So that's what they say, the Sishal HaChodesh. It's interesting because the Gemara has two different drushes, and we pass like both of them. We have both limudim. Number one, we have a mitzvah Tosefes and Erev Kippur, to start Kippur early. Okay, when it's still on the ninth, outside it's still the ninth, well before sunset. Usually the shul's call Nidre probably for 15 or 20 minutes before sunset. Okay, and number two, this drush they have to eat an Erev Kippur. Now, eating an Erev Kippur, therefore, is a mitzvah, so that's how our Gemara said it, that it's right to leave the Beis Medrash early to go be mekayem this mitzvah eating. So one, you know, many people enjoy that mitzvah. So one time a year is a mitzvah, not one time. It's 8 times a year, it's a mitzvah to eat. You know, they say about this whole salami where he kept the candies in his mouth all day. Kept the candies in his mouth. So he was always swallowing something. Okay. But anyway, it's a mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. So it's not, in other words, an Erev Tisha B'Av, you also eat because you want to be able to, there's no mitzvah to eat an Erev Tisha B'Av, it's just practical. Okay. Here it seems to be more than practical. Here it seems to be actually a mitzvah. And as a side point, you know, the Gemara tells us that it was on Erev Kippur, it was on Yom Kippur. Why was Yom Kippur established on the day of the 10th of Tishrei? What's special about that day? So Chazal work out, Gemara Baba Basra, Rosh Pam, Gemara Megillah, whatever. Chazal worked out what happened that day. Moshe came down with the Luch HaShniyos. Why? They do the math. They go back to Shavuot, 6th of Sivan, and he was there for 40 days. Might get in the first luchos. Then he came down on, I mean, when they come down and smash the luchos. Shavuos of Tammuz. Mishnah says at times that's one of the reasons why there's a fast on Shavuos of Tammuz, because Yom Shnish Tammuz won the luchos. Moshe came down and smashed the luchos in the 17th of Tammuz, 40 days later, 6th of Sivan. Until the 17th of Tammuz, 40 days. Then the next day he goes back up for the purpose of just getting Kosh Baruch Hu to forgive the people. He's there, according to Moses, for a second set of 40 days and 40 nights. Then he comes down, Hashem forgives him. Then he's got to go up a third set of 40 days and 40 nights to get the second luchos. And the luchos goes up, Rosh Chodesh El, comes down, a tenth of Tishrei. So both Rashi, Rosh Bam, based on the simple reading of Gemara, in a couple of places say that's why Yom Kippur was established as a day of Slicha, Mechil, Kapara, because that was the day when Moshe came down. In other words, it's true that Hashem forgave him earlier, but if they didn't have the luchos, there was still a vestige, there was still a, you know, a big, huge gap. It's not forgive you, but on the luchos. Now they came down to the luchos, everything as it was before. Okay, that's the complete kapara. So that's why Yom Kippur. So the truth of the matter is, according to many, Erev Yom Kippur is a strictly yontif. We can't celebrate Yom Kippur. They're not going to celebrate luchos and Yom Kippur. We celebrate Shavuos. But the celebratory aspect of Yom Kippur, so we push the celebration the day earlier, Erev Yom Kippur. And that's why, many hold it, that's why that we don't just eat an Erev Yom Kippur, but this last Suda is like a Shabbos Yontif meal, right? We have the nice dishes, and we have it, it's not some Erev Tisha B'Av, eat whatever that's, have some pasta, some pineapples, or whatever you eat, whatever you want, right? For the fast. But Erev Yom Kippur is a din to have, it's a challah, and you have a nice Yontif meal, because, what do you mean, it's not Yontif, it's not Yontif, it's Erev Yontif. Okay, so the answer is because it's a strictly Yontif, because of the Luch HaShniyos. In fact, that also explains, I'm digressing that just because it happens to be Erev Yom Kippur now, just about. But it also explains why, by most Ashkenazim, not the Germans, not the Yekkers, but most Ashkenazim, the slichas on Erev Yom Kippur are very brief. The shortest slichas of all 2 weeks. Just very quick slichas. Take 10 minutes, I think. 15 minutes instead of 40 minutes. So it's much shorter. Why? Because of the yantif quality to it. And an interesting question, from this question, with the practical nafkamina, the kibbeh, others discuss, what if somebody knows medically he's not permitted to fast on Yom Kippur? Not permitted, okay, medically, nefesh, chalashitas, and so on, so well, he has to eat, okay? Whether he's going to eat the small amounts or whatever, he has to eat on Yom Kippur. So the question is, does he still admit to eat on Erev Kippur? If you hold the Erev Kippur simply so you'll be able to fast, then he's not going to fast anyways. We hold that it has this yontif quality to it, so it's mechuyev in that din anyway. Nothing to do with the fact that he's not eating, not going to fast on Yom Kippur. Further enough, I mean, does the mitzvah eat on Yom Kippur extend already to the night before? No, it's the night of Yom Kippur, this year, Thursday night. Right? If it's a yontif, the day has a yontif quality to it, maybe even the night before. Even though what you eat the night before is not likely to make a big difference in terms of your fasting on Yom Kippur, it's too far away in terms of your digestive system. But if it's a din, not only preparing for kippur, it's a din and a strictly yontif. The further question, whether women are obligated, because maybe it's a, if it's just to prepare for the fast, women have to fast on kippur, but if it's a yontif thing too, maybe in that aspect they wouldn't, because the mitzvah says, I'm grown, it's a lot of lumbus about Erev Kippur. Anyway, that was a brief digression, just because we're talking about Erev Kippur. Let's finish up the Gemara here. It's a very fascinating Gemara, of which, if you saw, there's a parallel, the exact same Gemara in Baba Basra. And of Kuf Lama Dal. Okay, so the Gemara says, it's an interesting Gemara, we'll do what we can. Not necessarily go through everything here, but we'll look at the sheets. An interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, since the Torah Rebbe Yochanan Zakkai, the Gemara digresses to the Mishnah and says, Tan Rabban, Shmonim Tamidim Hayulo Lehillel HaZaken. The great Hillel, they say Lehillel HaZaken, had 80 Tamidim. Shloshem Ruim Shetishla and Shechina Kemosha Meidu. Wow. Okay. 30 of them had, had Mamish, like Moshe. Shloshem Hen Ruim Shetamal and Chamak Yeshub Benon. They weren't as great just enough, they were great enough that the sun should have stood still for them too, like it did for Yeshua. And Esrim Benin, and then 20 in the middle. Goro Shubu Kulun Yonas and Uziyo. The greatest Yonas and Uziyo. Cotton Shubu Kulun Yonas and Zakkai. Imagine Rukh and Zakkai was the smallest of this group. Imagine what Talmidim they were. Okay? Oh, good. Now, regarding that point, so, again, you have some of the Mepharshim, I've heard on a page because they analyze it in Baba Basra. Okay? So, just look at 31, the Rashbam, Baba Basra, fills in some blanks that Rashi here doesn't. Kufal and Dalal also. Ruim Shetishre. So if the Shekhinah should rest upon him, why didn't it? So he says, Elo Sha'avon Hador Gar, Main Hador Royal Kach. The generation doesn't deserve it. They deserve it. We don't deserve to have someone in our midst like that. So therefore, the Shekhinah doesn't rest on them the way it rests on Moshe, but they deserve it. That's how Rashbam explains. I cannot put that. I print that because Rashi doesn't say it here. And the business of the Talmud Lam Chama, like Yeshua, so we have a tradition of some stood still for Moshe also. It more works out in the Battle of Amalek and so on. But the answer is these people weren't as great as Moshe, they were more like Yeshua. Not bad either. Okay? The Marsha, there in Baba Basra. By the way, so it says, well, I printed the Rabbi Gershom also in Baba Basra on the page 32. Again, you can look at this yourself. He says, Gadol Shebekulam, Rabbi Yosef Zeal was the greatest of all, but which group? The three groups. We assume he's the greatest of the great, of the top group. He says, no. Goro should call him a banner. Fine. Okay, that's a Ben Gershon. I have a tradition like that. Marsha says, when it says, Roy Shetish on Shin Kamosha Banner, Marsha and Baba Basra again, Kuflam Dal and Aleph, says they gate, they reached the level of Hillel, and Hillel was like Moshe, was a great honor. Okay. Anyway, these were, the others weren't quite as great. How do you work it out? That's it, more says about these people. Now, some things about Yochanan and Zakkai. Concluding for the mission. Amru Olav Rechon Zakkai. So he niach mikra u'mishnah gemara. He did not leave aside. He did not delve into. Okay, double negative. Did not delve into mikra. Okay, mikra is Torah Shmasah. Mishnah. Rashi explains kigon. I'm sorry, kigon mishnah brisa shoshisha sedar. Right, the shoshisha sedar mishnah. Okay. That's what Mishnah means. Okay, Gemara, it cannot mean the Gemara that we talk about. Why? Because it didn't exist yet. Right, but it means, right to Gemara, Zui Svara, so Tanayim HaKhonim Medaktik and Liberishonim, the Tanayim would talk about, to try and explain the words of the early Tanayim, Litim Ben Tam, Kamosha Asamorayim, Achar HaTanayim, like the Gemara later did, Shapirshu Dibra HaTanayim, Shalifnayim, the Kovu and Gemara, Vosa Dik, Shalimah HaTanayim, Nikra Shas, right? So it means the Shas means Gemara. Okay, Shas stands for Shisha Sadarm, right? The six orders means the Gemara means the analysis which later became Gemara, the type of analysis later became Gemara. Halachas, Rashi's Halacha Moshmi Sinai. He gives examples, going good, the love of the Dolphin Akuma, Shiurin, Rashi gives numerous examples of Halacha Moshmi Sinai. One of Shiurim, all Shiurim. How do you know it's the Kezias? The amount they have to eat for months. I didn't know 40 saw of water in a mikveh. These are all halacha moshe mitzinah. Okay? Good has to do with, like an Arab, so sukkah, we'll learn about it at length in the beginning. After you have to love it, something was into the tefachim. Again, I don't want to go all these details right now. These are halacha moshe mitzinah. Okay? Agados, so explain it there. Dikduke Torah. Okay, Duke Torah Rashi, Rebu Osa Shabon Leaders from Rebuy Mutin. Okay, where you precise words, extra hay over here. Ha Ezra, we had this here, Rashi quotes, right? Comes to exclude women. That's hey, an extra letter here, a missing letter there. Right, that's called the Duke Torah. Duke Sofrim, okay, which the Rabbonim put things, that they instituted for the purpose of adding. The Rashi of adding things to protect things in the Torah. That's what Shpam also says. Zeris, the Chachamim, Rabbeinu Gershom says differently. He says things that the Chacham group by numbers. Again, when things were not written down, so you remember things by numbers. Okay, 15 women at this day, 5 things. Right, and the number of Gemaras, where things are put by numbers, grouped, because you remember it better that way. We don't have to worry about it because it's in print, but the Chacham a lot of times organized. Shema min atlas. We learn 3 dinim. They're grouped together because people can remember there's association. That's called Dituke Sofer. Good? Okay. Kala mechamurim. That's Kala Chomes. Okay. Dorama lamein Kala Chomer. I said. Ugzeru Shabbos. Okay. There's one Ugzeru Shabbos. Tekufos. That's the moon and the Rosh Chodesh thing. Gematrios. All right, things we learn from a gematria or playing with letters and so on. Okay, Rashi gives examples sometimes, things we learn from what Atbash, or Atbash is Aleph equals Tov, Beis equals Shin, right, go back in the alphabet. Spell things differently. So Sheshach, Shin, Shin, Chav is Bovel. That's a cryptic way of saying Bovel. That's one form of gematria. Or at the end, Rashi says that one gematria, Stam Nazirus and Shloshim Yom. Okay, Stam Nazirus, a Nazir takes a vow to be a Nazir. And doesn't specify how long, it says 30 days. Why? Because it says Kadosh Yeh. Torah says Kadosh Yeh. Yeh in Gematria is 30. Okay? It's the one, I think that's the one actual halacha we learn from the Gematria. What actual halacha, aside from all the lot, learn a lot of interesting hints and things like that. But okay, that's Gematria. Okay? Sichas Malachas Shores, Sichas Shadim, and Sichas the Kohen. The conversations of the Malachim, of the Shadim, and of the trees. Okay, so Rashi is very honest. Lo yadana mai. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that is. Rashi didn't bother delving into that. Okay, the Rashbam over there in Bava Basra has a few things that Shadim did I miss something? I'm sorry. That Shadim is a disease and they'll go out at a certain point. Other thing about trees, he also mentions. Certain things, or so they figure out the sounds that the trees were making, and it meant something. Okay, I'm with Rashi, I don't understand it. Mishalos, Kovsi, Mishalos, Shulim. Different parables, which illustrate the parable about washing clothes, bathing person, washing things. Mishal Shulim, things with foxy, Dover Gorol, Dover Cotton. Again, you can look in Rashi. Dover got a nice recover. Dover got a high to buy a rubber. He did everything. Lekayim Hashanem Alahanchel Ola Yeshu to Sinu Malay. That's a pasuk which is comes from Mishlei. Garkes pasuk of Malay, but it's in the last Mishnah Shas. Right? Chenachar Shkam Shkulon Kap Gorosh Mekulon Alachas Kama Kama. If this was Yechon Zakai and he was the smallest of the Talmidim, then how much more the others do greater than he? Okay. Omar Willis Muzeel, and the greatest of things in the Muzeel, Bishar Shioshos Vitorko, Ov Shapur Echalot Mi'ad Misraf. Okay, period. Willis Muzeel, he sat and learned, and he burned the floor of heaven, immediately burnt up. It was such an intense, the fire of Torah consumed the birds. Okay? Anyway, just a couple things on the back page. Finish off the last page. Okay? Dover cotton is called Habayit Habay Barova. Again, that's not literally Habay Habay Barova because they weren't alive yet either. But again, the back and forth discussions, shall we call Shakta Vitaria and Sugya. Okay? That's how the Farshim explained that. The Tosis here on the side of the page calls, what's it doing? The birds burning up. Okay? The birds burning up. Shadvorim Smechem Knisos Mesinai. That somehow when the Talmud Chama learn, they can create fire with the passion and the power of their learning, like the Torah was given. It says a few times in the Chumash, Mitocha Eish, the fire. Again, whether it's symbolic or not, but it's important. Okay. Now, some of the portion are bothered, the Ritva, for example, here in Sukkah, is bothered. What's this Lashon of the Dover cotton of Ice of Ivarova, that's the whole Gemara, the Dover cotton. You know, so he says, yeah, compared to Maisa Merkava is a vision of Yechezkel, the chariot of Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, moving from Eretz Yisrael, not the bottle, but very esoteric. What do you mean? Because Baruch Hu moved, he's esoteric. That's the vision of Yechezkel, the first part of Yechezkel. Which the Gemara says elsewhere, Mishnah says elsewhere, not supposed to study in public, because it's too complicated for people philosophically to deal with. We read that after the first day of Shavuos. Hopefully most people are sleeping anyway at that point. So, in my show, the meaning is to give it out by that list, I can't say. But, in any event, compared to Mice and Recover to Dover Cotton. Okay? Anyway, the Havayas are our Rabbi, which were writing Kushas, Tirutz, and Sekas, things, you know, which were not included in the above, but the Mishnah and Gemara, and so on and so forth. Okay? All right. I just want to conclude. Let's see what I think. A little bit about Hashem, right? He quotes some of the stuff again. You can read this over just to see the flow of the sugya that appears in Baba Basra, of course, and talk about it. I reference the Chochma Shlomo Dabar Gadol Maisa Merkava, okay? Just a moment. Yeah, just emphasizing that we shouldn't minimize Havayas Havayi Barov. So there's an interesting Rambam, Hilchos HaTorah, Paragdal, Hilchos Bimah. Binyane Arba Prokin Elu, Shulchan Shmitz's Elu, these four chapters of Hilchos HaTorah, when Rambam discusses the basics of Amunah and so on, Haim Shachal Marishon Karnas of Pardes, Kamosha Amra Arba Nichnas of Pardes. That's like a modern tightness. Pardes lived in the orchard. Mar says that before the Menachem went into the Pardes to deal with the esoteric, and it didn't work out well for anyone except for Mekiva. Leave it at that. Okay? But Apo Bishik Do Israel Hoy Chacham Do Hoy Lo Kulo Had Ben Kach Leida Ulahasi Kol Adram Al Borel. Vani Omer She'ein Roy L'Tal B'Pardes, says the Rambam. You should not begin delving into the esoteric philosophy of the world and how things run and so on and so forth. You should Elamisha Nismalo Kreso Lechel Basar, unless you're first filled with bread and meat. Okay, we say in English we have an expression meat and potatoes. Okay, the lechem of basar who laid the ha'asr ha'mutar. First, know halacha before you get into Kabbalah. Let's say find people today study Kabbalah. You know, it becomes a at least esoteric thing. Never mind, says the Rambam. First, you have to know what's asr, what's mutar. Okiot v'sham mitzvahs. The afal pishu gomel davar cotton karoso chacham referring to our Gemara. Sher amr chacham davar gadol ma'is mekavu davar cotton ma'is avay avrom. You got to do the davar cotton first. Shehem miyashin daitol shalom tchila. But oh, shehem atova gadol shepiach shepiach and rabbi shalom. This is what Kosh Baruch gave us. Kelin chol chadam avad. The Gemara avayis avay avrom. That's the basics. The basics, obviously. Before you deal with Kabbalah and mystical things and esoteric things, first make sure you're clear on what's awesome, what's mutter, the quote unquote smaller things. These smaller things have to come first, he says. And these are things which he says, the Efsha Shiyeda HaKol Kotam Begadol Isha Isha. That's interesting too. Probably a woman learning Gemara. Okay, I'm not proving anything here. Just make the point. The Rambam says, Isha Isha, even a woman should know about the Havayis Havayi Barov. Okay. Anyway, Baal Rochav Alei Kotz, everybody should do that. The last thing I printed in the sheets was in Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he's one of the great heroes. The reason I mentioned before, and for his great learning, all his great midos. So you read this Gemara, you know, I mean, he was the weakest of the 80. I mean, you know, he was the bottom, the last guy in the class, you know, the bottom of the class. Well, it's a joke, you know, what do you call the guy graduating last in his class in medical school? Doctor. Right? It doesn't matter, right? But the point is still, the Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the list in the class that is a Kesef Mishnah. And this will finish. Hilchos Mammon, Parag Beis, Aluch and Beis. Okay? He refers to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, you know, Mazil Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he made Takanas and so on. And how can you make these Takanas? Anyway, he suggests that in the Chochmas HaTorah, he said, he made him bigger than the others. It was just these other things that it mentions there, like the Sichas, the trees talking, and other things like that, maybe he wasn't as great as the others. Right? He studied all those things. In that area, again, he studied all those things, but in that area, there's those esoteric areas and these funny things that are mentioned, that maybe some of the others are greater. But in terms of Chokhmah Satara, okay, says the Kazimisha, he was greater. So, you know, Kazimisha telling us we shouldn't have any disparaging thoughts of Hashem or Rechim Zakkai. In terms of plain Chokhmah HaTorah, That was the Rambam refers to in Hilchos Soda Torah, which the Gemara refers to as Habayis Habayim Rava. Kumri Rechav Zaku is greater. It does all the other things, Siach HaDekolim and Siach HaMachashoy, Maisem HaKava, but also Nachachom was Efshar Gudolim Menom, Avalo Bechom was HaTorah. Varayla Dover, he was a Nasi. At the end of the day, he was, all these people were so much greater than him, how come they didn't become a Nasi? How come they didn't become a Rosh Hashiva in place of Hillel? At the end of the day, it was Rechav Zaku who succeeded Hillel. So if he was the bottom of the cliff, how come they didn't? The answer says the Chesed Mishnah because, you know, in terms of Chokhmah Satara, he was greater. Some of these other more esoteric things, maybe there are people bigger than him. Okay, anyway, we'll stop over here so we'll get to the bottom of the Gemara. As I said, any questions? As I said, tomorrow.